Dave and I met in high school. We were studying music, and even though we were very different back then, we always had some sort of connection point. Dave was an A student, always sucking up to teachers, showing up clean and orderly every morning with a white coffee cup in hand. I, on the other hand, was always at least 30 minutes late, showing up with makeup from last night, spent most classes writing lyrics or poetry in my notebooks, and complained about the system and taxes. Dave was in a cool band. He was a cool guy. People liked him. I was a little bit on the outside. I had just started writing songs, and I didn't really want to be a part of any group or anything. But both Dave and I had clear visions and goals. You can see that early in people, those who take the driver's seat. They don't just end up somewhere. They decide where to go, and then they go there. Dave and I were those people. We were those people in what felt like a city of aimless bodies. Dave and I would go places. I always knew that. We would take action, while the rest stayed behind. And that's exactly what happened. After high school, I moved to London, and Dave landed an amazing job as a sound engineer. I was on my journey, and he was on his. Our friends slowly stayed in school, had kids, got mortgages, and bought houses, but we were searching for something different. It made me feel less alone, knowing that he was out there, doing it with me. We kept a close but distant contact, checking in now and then, always leaving each other feeling inspired because while the other stayed put and safe, we were both shooting for what felt like the stars. We believed in each other's abilities to make it big, whatever that meant. I always felt like he believed in me, and I believed in him. Truly, I always knew he would make it. A few years later, Dave moved to Los Angeles to chase those stars, and I cheered him on from the road somewhere in Europe. Every third month, we hopped on a 3-hour video call. How's life? Where are you? Where are you going? It felt safe. We were from the same place, and now we were out here doing it, fighting the good fight. We confided in each other about being low on money. How can we make it to the next rent? We brainstormed on each other's careers. How should I release the next album? We helped each other through decadent cities, homesickness, and noisy flatmates. But our story really starts many years later. I had a really hard time untying myself from a relationship that left me quite broken and empty. I had sacrificed a lot of my personality to fit into this ex-boyfriend's life, and Dave noticed. It was when I moved to Barcelona that Dave started calling me every single day to check in, literally just to say hi. In the beginning, I found it strange. I had never had those friends before. I never had a friendship that close, especially not after moving out into the world. I had always been on my own, and my friendships were characterized by me showing up in a city somewhere, sending off a text or group chat saying, "Hey, I'm in town. Want to get drunk and catch up?" I admit, I didn't always pick up when Dave called in the beginning, but he kept calling, tirelessly. It slowly turned into a safe ritual, a safe tradition. I was healing from a breakup, and he helped me keep going forward. I wanted to go back in time, but he invited me to something new. I think I helped him too. He didn't say it out loud, but I always felt like I helped him by answering when he called. We checked in on each other like that, every day for a few years. I moved on from the relationship. I moved on to a new city, and he did too. And slowly, we developed something that felt like a sibling relationship. He felt like my family. He understood my brain and my visions better than anyone ever had. He saw good in me when I didn't necessarily see good in myself. And I felt like he valued my thoughts. I felt like I helped him too. But something shifted. Actually, I think I shifted. I got very busy. My work took over. I felt stressed financially. I fell in love with someone who loved someone else, and I fell into a spiral of anxiety. Could have been the pandemic, but started having panic attacks at the gym and at the tax office. Things kept spinning, and I just stopped answering the phone. I got so very occupied with myself. I'm sorry for that. Our calm, safe moments of quality conversations turned into rushed passings, and the daily calls turned into weekly, then monthly, then just the last walk around the river back home in Sweden, when we both happened to touch base at the same time. A few weeks later, I got a text from Dave saying he changed his number, so here is the new one. Maybe we grew so close that we took each other for granted, and suddenly time passed, and that closeness had turned into a big black hole. There was nothing there anymore, and we kind of both fell into it. Maybe it was the digital friendship, a friendship on FaceTime during a pandemic. Him in the morning, me in the evening, two different time zones, two different continents, and I admit, I got sick of spending hours staring into a screen. I wanted to sit in the park and laugh face to face, talk for real, go over and have dinner and meet his people, know his world. Anyway, it's been a few years now, and I no longer know what Dave is doing with his life. He always dreamt of moving to Nashville, and I always saw him there. His cowboy hats and always a guitar at hand. I always saw him directing an artsy independent movie about people who chase something more, people who seek. And I always saw myself celebrating with him. I would write my big novel and win the respect of highbrow critics, while he would win the Oscar for Movie of the Year, and I would feel like I won two through him. He would have a family with beautiful children, and I would fly over as the restless, wandering aunt who never settled. And I would always be welcomed. Instead, I now find myself on his social media profiles every Friday when the city has fallen asleep, hoping I can find a sign of how he is, where he is. Maybe find a door I can quietly knock on. I sent him a text 3 years ago, sitting by the bay in Montenegro. I told him I was sorry, told him I miss him, and he replied back saying friendships change. It's the way the world goes. That broke my heart because he wasn't friendship. He was family. And family is not supposed to change. But losing people is a part of life, and I don't think we can avoid it, so it's the way we move forward that counts. I have moved on from people without looking back, without wanting to spend any more time dwelling or thinking or reliving. But I also think you can move on while also treasuring a place for them in your heart, forever. Moving on doesn't always have to mean forget. Moving on can mean building on, honoring, treasuring, and remembering. And maybe one day when we're old and gray, we will find ourselves back in our hometown on Christmas Eve at the same old pub. So, Dave, tell me about the last 30 years of your life. I will say. And he'll go, it started when I moved to Nashville. and I will smile and listen and laugh and cry, and then I will tell him about Porto, where it started for me and where I went after that. We'll have another whiskey and drink to life, or its wonderful and cruel ways of turning friends into strangers. And on very lucky days, strangers into friends. And on even more lucky days, friends into family. And after all, family doesn't change. You can lose contact. You can go separate ways, but family is always out there. Family is always there, even when you don't talk.